most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi! Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning into our show, we will help you question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you're interested in. So you have to listen every single week, and sure enough, you are going to find someone from your career. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, you want to go to the LA Talk Radio website, and that address is latalkradio.com. Clue, if you are listening to me live right now, you're already on the website. You're halfway there. So you just click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. This will take you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. You just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. And if you want to find out about our future guest, we offer you the official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. So you want to check it out. Our show has become so popular, we're booked 6 months in advance, yay, sometimes a year. But, you know, I just don't go a year booking. A lot of people ask me. I don't do that anymore because by the time I had everybody booked for a year and I went to have them on the show, they were either on tour, they got married, they were having a baby. There were all kinds of nonsense going on. So 6 months is it. That's the most I can book. We have an incredible guest. I've gotten emails ever since the email blast went out because a lot of people are saying, Priscilla, we want to talk to a really nice casting director, or we want someone that's really, really nice who casts. And I said, well, I know the perfect person. That would be Megan Foley. There is no one sweeter than Megan Foley. She is a darling as far as I'm concerned. She is it for me. So if you got the information on the email, you know a little bit about her, but just in case you didn't, she is an award-winning casting director. She started her company, Megan Foley Casting, in 1987, and basically the rest is history for her. It's just so long, you'd probably have to take an hour to read all of her credits. But basically, her company books commercial, film, industrial, television, music videos, etc. So there's no job that's too big or too small for Megan to handle. She can handle anything. She's like a little octopus. She can do it all. So you're always going to have a wonderful experience with Megan Foley. She's fun. She's professional. And you're going to be satisfied. You're going to feel like you are a friend. You are just going to feel that way. She makes you feel that way. She's upbeat. She's kind. And again, one of the most professional people in the casting industry. I personally had the pleasure of working for her on a project. And I swear to God, it was the best experience I have ever had working with someone who casts. So if you want to find out more about Megan Foley, you want to go to her website, is MeganFoleyCasting.com, MeganFoleyCasting.com. She also has a lot of classes, which I'm hoping she'll tell us about, and you definitely want to take one of her classes. It is just an incredible experience. Just the type of person she is. She is very detailed, and you will learn a ton. So we're going to find out more about her classes a little later. But first, I want to welcome her to the show. Welcome, Megan Foley.
Well, thank you, Priscilla. It's so good to be here again. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm just so happy that you're back because you're such a busy bee. I had you on the show a couple years ago, and I wanted you to come back. But my God, you are just a little maniac out there in the casting world, casting your little fingers off. So I'm so happy that you're able to come back.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me back. And I don't think I've ever been described as a little octopus before, and I just love that.
Oh, well, see, now you got to have your husband draw you as an octopus instead of riding on the bike, which is what he has
yeah.
you doing now. You got to be a little octopus. Now, Megan, we got so much to cover, so I'm going to try to get to it. I'm hoping we don't run out of time, but I get a lot of calls and emails about having a casting person on to give some advice for actors on casting for new media, which would include the mobisodes, the webisodes, etc. So can you share with us anything that you feel is important that we should know as actors about the auditioning process, which may have changed, the payment process, how actors get paid? You know, is it better to be or non-union for this new media? Give us anything that you know that is going to be, you know, tips, advice, resource information on that subject.
Okay, well, I will give you what I know. I have not actually been doing any web series stuff. So, but I have one of my very dear friends is doing web series stuff. So we kind of talk about it all the time. And she's got, I know that most of the people that she works with are all union. And I know that a lot of these are non-union as well. I think the audition process is the same wherever you go and whatever you do. You've got to give a good, solid performance. You've got to bring something in to the director so that they light up and they go, oh, yeah, that's the person we want to work with because that's the person that's bringing something to this character. Payments and stuff, not very good, you know, generally not very good. I know that SAG has some, you know, guidelines for payments and for, you know, certain episodes and certain, you know, commercials that are run on web and stuff. And I try to ask my clients to pay a little bit more than those guidelines just because it's going out to so many people. And so many people are seeing it. You know, when it first started out, everybody was like, oh, who knows what's going to happen with this thing, this internet thing. You know, so everybody was real reluctant to make any commitments on kind of how they wanted to pay people. But now it's pretty clear that the world is watching. So I'm hoping that there will be a little bit more restructuring on this so that everybody's getting paid a little bit more. But, you know, anybody can do a series now. Anybody, if you want to produce your own series, you can do it. And that's one of my big focuses that my husband Chuck and I talk about all the time is, you know what, it's now the opportunity you have to take your career into your own hands is amazing. And you should be doing that as often as you can.
Yes, and that would be, she's speaking of creating your own episode.
Creating your own web series, yeah.
Exactly.
Or your own, web commercials or little things that interest people. You can't really do commercials as much. I mean, you can't do official commercials, but people do things and put them on YouTube all the time as specs and actually get picked up from ad agencies to do these commercials.
Absolutely. Something recently was a commercial for Doritos. A lot of the major companies are having a contest. Things
mm-hmm,
where they're,
right.
they're asking you to create a spec commercial and send it. And who knows, yours could end up. There have been so many people that have ended up winning these things and their lives
yeah.
being changed forever. Now let's talk about the quality though. I have found that a lot of people that I know have submitted for these things, but I tend to see that they choose people for the top, say 35, and then narrowing down in that process, where they really have to have superior quality with these commercials. Do you know anything about that? You know, as an actor, it does cost money to make these things. Any tips on that as a struggling actor, what they should do because they want to be seen, but they may not have the money to produce high quality? What would they do?
Well, You know, I mean, there's a lot of things to do. The best thing is to find somebody that's got a good high-quality camera and somebody that's got a good idea about lighting, you know. And then once you have that and you've got a good script, you've got to, and then you've got to have a good actor. You don't have to pay for all of that. You know, some people will shoot stuff for you because they want that stuff for their reel as well. And that's kind of what you're hoping for. I kind of think of it as like the old cooperatives. I mean, that's the way a lot of people, you know, old farms and stuff work, and still some of them still work these days, where everybody kind of pitches in on their specialty, and you all end up with a product that's good enough to be able to be used or sold. And that's really what I would say. I don't think you need to necessarily spend a lot of money to find somebody to produce it. I don't think you need to, you know, be spending a lot of money. My husband and I both had did several films years ago that we did ourselves back in the days when you actually had to buy film. Now everything is on digital. I mean, it's pretty cheap. You don't like it, you erase it. You know, you don't like it, you wipe it out. And I just think that the expense is really going to, you know, feed your crew, and it's going to, you know, be either the rental of the camera and the rental of the equipment if you don't have it or if you can't get your hands on it.
Absolutely.
So I don't,
go ahead, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't
ahead.
Want people to be frustrated and think they can't do it because it's going to cost money, because it's just not the way it used to be.
That's
it used
right.
to cost a fortune. Yeah,
yes.
Not
yes.
so much anymore.
You know, if you have a good HD camera, you can pretty much do your own stuff. And a recent
yeah.
experience that I've had is dealing with new media, because I am about to produce a 10-minute short film. And speaking from a perspective of an actor, for example, now I'm producing this, so I'm not acting in this, but in order to do it right, my process was that I wanted to go be a SAG. So one of the actors mm-hmm. in my film is a SAG actor, and I had not done it that way before with doing it like technical, you know, Gorilla. I don't recommend that for anyone, but a lot of people do it who don't have money. But I wanted to go through the process of new media because I wanted to have it as a webisode. So as an actor, you could actually do it yourself. You could be the producer as well as one of the actors in it.
And the actors,
Yeah, one of the things I recommend before you start that is to go to one of the SAG signatory classes, which are free. You do not have to be a member of SAG to go to these. They have them every month at SAG in the evening, which I went to one, and you will learn a ton of things as an actor, a producer, a director. It doesn't matter what role you have, you will really learn what's going on with SAG and what you need to do. And even as an actor, you could produce this and the only thing that they ask you, well, one of the things, there's many, but one of the things that they ask is that you have it as a webisode for at least a week, which as an actor would be your goal anyway, but you do have to have it on YouTube or a personal website for at least a week in order to qualify for putting it on into the film festivals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think mm-hmm. that's a great idea. The SAG is just being very, very, very helpful with people who want to get their stuff on. But people, let me tell you, doing new media, if you have a SAG actor, is very different. You have to be under the new media contract, not the old one. New media just started this in 2009. So if you want to be on a webisode or a mobisode or anything like that, you have to go through those rules, correct?
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And but they have made it so much easier than it used to be. I mean, it was a mountain of paperwork that I had to do when I was first doing my very first film. Was a ridiculous. And very much so that we always do all of our films SAG, but we always thought, oh my God, I would do anything if I didn't have to do these films, you know, through the union.
I know.
But now they've made it so much easier, and people are like, oh yeah, I had to sign like three papers, and I'm like, what? Three papers?
Yes,
how wonderful
yes.
is that?
Yeah, you have to do what's called a preliminary agreement, which is basically it's a PDF form. You can get all of these forms if you go to the SAG website. Again, you don't have to be SAG to check it out, at least, and you don't have to be SAG at all. You can check
right.
it out. Have to do a preliminary form, which is one page. Then you have to do, again, I'm talking about new media, you have to do what's called an agreement. And the meeting that I went to on February 10th, what they said, Megan, was that they are about to take the process even further, and they are going, you're going to be able to fill all these forms out online and submit, which is
kind of. Oh, that's going to be so nice. And I'm guessing, I mean, you're telling me information, which is great for me, but I'm guessing you don't even need to be bonded anymore. I mean, like we back in the day, we had to be bonded and do all of that stuff.
Yeah, no, not for the new media. They couldn't control. They couldn't.
Yeah, there's no way they could control that.
No, not at all. That you do still have to. I believe you still have to do that if you're falling under the low budget, ultra low budget,
the regular limited X, right? All of that.
The film, but for new media, no, absolutely not. Anybody can do it, and I highly recommend if you're an actor, just start doing your own stuff. And what's great also is that with the new media, they're offering the Taft-Hartley process with that. So, do you want to explain, you know, what Taft-Hartley is to the actors? So,
Taft-Hartley is a federal regulation that basically says you have to, if you're working. If you don't belong to a union, and if you're working for a union job, you, it's called Taft-Hartley Forms, and it gives you 30 days in which you can work for that one, or you can work under the union for free. After the 30th day or on your next job, you have to join the union. And so, but that's really unusual because they don't usually do the Taft-Hartley on Limited X or the limited exhibition stuff or the ultra low budget things. So that they're doing it on new media is pretty surprising to me and good news too.
Yes, that's why I brought it up. It's really great because, and again, this isn't for everyone. Because my thought process on SAG is everybody wants to be SAG, but I say hold your horses and learn what happens to you once you get into SAG. But what's great about the new media is that, yes, they do include the Taft-Hartley form. So basically, if you were an actor and you wanted to get into SAG so desperately, again, I say hold your horses, find out. What
right,
you
too. Be you careful.
Know, we're going to talk about that. Be careful what you wish for, because everybody thinks they want to be SAG, but in this day and age, and we're going to ask Megan about that, in this day and age, I'm finding that a lot of people are getting more work doing non-union, and you got to be ready to go SAG. Why don't you talk to, oh, to end that, Taft-Hartley, in new media, they're including the forms for the producers, so basically, if you had one SAG actor, at least minimum one SAG actor, and you had non-union actors, if they fit a certain criteria, which they give you a list of things that they have to fit. It's
probably
really
the same
expensive
criteria as it is for all Taft-Hartleys, I would think.
It's a list, and you can see that again if you go to the website. If they fit, then you can Taft-Hartley them, which is, as Megan just explained, they have an opportunity to receive this Taft-Hartley status and become SAG eligible. You still have to pay a humongous fee, people.
Right.
So don't get too excited, but let's continue talking about that process.
Okay. All right. Well, about the Taft-Hartley process or about the union, non-union?
Let's talk about how actors are so excited, non-union actors are so excited to come SAG, and then all of a sudden, what happens afterwards? So why should we be cautious before we take that jump?
Well, you know, it's funny because when the last time we spoke about this, it was really, I had mentioned that there was a lot of non-union work starting to show up, and it was, you know, I was afraid everybody was going to shoot the messenger with me on that, but I was really seeing the start of the trend of all sorts of work becoming non-union and non-union work showing up all over the country, which is indeed what has happened. So I said it's great to want to join SAG, and it's great to be prepared to join SAG. And if you get Taft-Hartley, you better save up your pennies and make sure you get them all ready so that whenever it is time for you to join SAG, when it's mandatory that you join SAG, that you are able to pay. I mean, we have plenty of positions and times, and people that have given up jobs that when we went to offer them a SAG job, they didn't have the money, so they couldn't join.
Yeah, and when Megan talks about saving pennies, no. I got to correct that. You now have to practically, you're going to have to work about three jobs if you're an actor to even pay that. I think it's up, and don't quote me, Megan, you would know more than me, but I know when I joined, it was like $1,400. I think now it's over 2,000.
I think it's over 2,000 now too. Yes, I think it's more like 2,200, 2,400.
Yeah, 2,400.
Yeah, it's crazy expensive. Yeah, no pennies don't add up to much.
Yeah, and then you also have dues which are due every 6 months and year. Just to put that in there, people. So you don't.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Them. Which is
yeah, and if your dues fall behind, you have to pay them before you can.
Exactly.
Work again. So, I mean, there's all sorts of rules and, you know, regulations. The thing about it is that there is so much non-union work now that people can really build up their resumes. And it's not, you know, the holy grail that it once was, I don't believe. I mean, I still, you know, prefer to do union jobs. I prefer to hire union people. But at the same time, there is just so much work out there. I can't in good conscience tell people to, you know, join the union first thing when they get out here, because they're just going to, they're cutting out their nose to spite their face. They need to be able to get the ability to get work and to get training outside of the union. And this is one of the places to get it is doing non-union work.
Absolutely.
Although I will say, non-union work sometimes can be a little bit scary. I had one of my students the other day just sent me an email, and she said, I just got a call about somebody that wants me to come and read for a show, and they're talking about to meet in their hotel room for the show, which, of course, does happen sometimes. I was just doing a Mandalay Bay job, and they put us up at the Mandalay Bay, but they gave us a conference room. They didn't give us a hotel room to go meet in. You know, anyhow, she's saying, and, you know, he was talking about what a lovely view it was and, you know, come audition. And I just said, you know, you just got to follow your gut instinct on that one. That does not sound like a good thing to me.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely not. But, you know, a lot of people that come out here, depending on where they're from, they're very trusting and they're just so excited to be offered the opportunity to audition. They will go. And, you know, I've heard some horror stories. A friend of mine a long time ago, Christina, she actually did go. She was from Maryland. She went and at 9 o'clock at night, and it did not turn out well. Thank God that there was a janitor cleaning up, because it stopped something very horrible. But I always tell people, as a rule, you never, ever go to any audition if it's not in an office. You don't go by yourself. You take somebody with you to be safe. And if you're a female.
And preferably somebody big and strong.
Exactly, for sure. Now, when you were on the show last time, we briefly got started on talking about the subject of SAG and their almost secret topic to beginning actors or newly joined SAG actors about financial core. And now, in these tough economic times, is it a problem for some actors to be able to fork out the annual dues to stay in SAG? It is hard for them, but yet they say that they're terrified to change their status to financial core. So can you tell the audience basically what financial core is and what your viewpoint on the subject is?
Well, sure. Financial core is another federally regulated thing that says that you can't keep people from making a living in their industry. So you often need to be able to offer them opportunities. So if the union isn't being able to offer them opportunities, you can't tell them they can't work. You have to be able to let them work outside of the union. That's kind of in a nutshell what financial core is. In SAG, you would have to still pay your dues. You still have to you still get your insurance. Well, now that just opened up a little thing, but you will get all your benefits that you would get on any union job you work. You do not get the same benefits if you work on a non-union job, but it also offers you the opportunity to be able to work that coming your way. the good and bad news is it. A lot of people are terrified of it. I understand that any union, and especially SAG, doesn't make it easy for people to become financial core because they don't want to lose members out of their forces. But again, in tough financial times like we've had and have been having for, you know, many years now, people need to work and they want to work and they get the opportunity to work. Not everybody is doing it for all of the money or all of the safeguards. And I have to say, I have companies that work outside of the union and pay better because they just want to have to deal with the union. Now, you know, I'm a union supporter and a union believer, but I do have to be able to tell people this information. They, you know, people ask and I need to tell them, and I'm not going to lie to you and say, oh, I don't know anything about financial corps. I do know about it. It's worked out beautifully for some people. It works wonderfully for us sometimes. I can't believe the number of people that I see that were at one time very strong, staunch supporters of SAG, or at least proud members of SAG, and they still are proud actors. They're just no longer card-carrying members of SAG. And basically what you lose by being financial corps is, besides the protection that a union can offer you, you lose the... although I don't really, honestly, don't see that that is really taken advantage of to a terrible degree anymore. But what you don't get anymore is you don't get to hold on to your card. They do ask you to turn that in. But you don't get to vote and you don't get to run for office. But as far as I know, those are the main things that you don't get.
Right.
And the benefits oftentimes can outweigh, you know, I can't think what the word is, but, you know, the bad things. let's call it that.
So basically, I think you're cutting in and out, once in a while. So basically, people, when you're financial core, you're SAG, but you're able to do non-union projects, correct, in a nutshell?
Yeah, that's correct. Right.
Yeah. So that means that you're in SAG. You don't have to you can do SAG. I think you can still do SAG projects, right?
But absolutely. You're available to do both.
Yeah, you're available to do both. But SAG doesn't
And you pay your dues, I believe, it's still in the same way.
Yeah, you pay your dues. But you get to do non-union stuff. So that's basically, in a nutshell, if you're financial corps, you can do SAG stuff and you can also do non-union stuff, which is if you're SAG only, you cannot do non-union.
Cannot.
Number one rule of SAG, cannot. So, all right. So now let me ask you, I think we briefly broached the subject, but what is the state of casting right now for commercials, TV, film, mobisodes, webisodes, et cetera? Because I heard that I have a lot of friends who are in the casting business, and I heard that a lot of the advertisers were reusing their commercials because of the economy. Is that true?
They do. In this recession, they have been. Normally in recession time and advertising, this is kind of our boom time. I mean, this is where we generally make a ton of money. And advertising usually spikes during a recession period. But this recession has been completely different, and they are doing exactly that. They're reusing quite a bit of stuff, recutting it and reusing it, and some of it just plain old reusing it. And a lot of stuff they're shooting in other states, non-union states, outside of the country, where they can shoot it just from a much lower budget. And so it's the state of casting, and this is for theatrical and commercial as well. I have an office in Vegas as well. And the state of casting kind of all over is precarious because production is, I guess it's booming in some states like New Mexico and Louisiana and I think Michigan, but in states that are not giving huge incentives, is really cut back. And of course, those are the people that I know. My friends are mostly casting here locally or casting in Las Vegas. But we are seeing that they're just not shooting as much new footage as they had shot in the past.
Absolutely. And right now, I know that things change. Before, you could always count on pilot season being from this mm-hmm. month to this month and that month to that month. But now that's no longer the case. How does an actor actually know in this day and age when pilot season is coming up and for what? Because there's just so much now. How do you really know?
I think you have to just be really in the loop. You have to be shooting. I mean, you have to be watching shooting schedules, you know, watch things like Backstage and watch, there's another really great place for information, and I cannot think of it right now, but that talks about, it's a list, and it talks about what's shooting Angie's List. No, it's not Angie's List. It's, dang it, somebody just sent me an email, and if I'd known I was going to talk about that, I would have looked it up. But there are places online that you can find out who's shooting what, when is it going back into production, and that's how you figure it out. There really isn't, I mean, well, there still is somewhat of a pilot season and somewhat of a season in the fall, but they're not hard and fast at all like they used to be.
Right.
I think actors need to be on their game and ready to go any time of the year.
Right.
You know, every day of the year. Because you never know what's coming your way. You never know what's going to pop up out of nowhere that you weren't expecting that you need to be totally prepared for.
Absolutely. Now, I'm gonna ask you to check that list out and send me an email, and I want to have that available for next show. I will make sure if you tune in next week, I'll have that name from Megan of that list.
Okay.
Now, what is the best way for actors to submit to get a meeting or an audition for a project if they don't have an agent, or even if they do, what do you feel is the best way to get an audition for a project or a meeting?
You know, being in the advertising industry as we are, I think that that's part of the best way, not the best way, but a very good way, is if you meet me, I want you to send me a postcard. I want you to send me a postcard once a month, just saying, you know, hi, you know, I mean, not to just say nothing, but to say, oh, I just booked something, or, oh, I just shot something, or, oh, I mean, basically, let me say it this way more clearly. If you get a job, that's three postcards. That's a postcard that says, I just booked, I don't know, House. And then, another postcard a couple of weeks later, I just shot House. And then a couple of weeks later, my house is appearing tonight. That way, I mean, it's advertising. Chevy doesn't run an ad one time. But we think, you can just send a headshot to my office once, and I'm going to have some wonderful, huge file that I'll be able to leave it in and always be able to refer back to it. That's a very good way to kind of keep your face in front of me. Think of it as advertising. Think of it as running a series of commercials. The other thing is, and I am a big believer in doing showcases, industry nights, any of those kind of things. Some are free, some are paid for, but to get to meet people one-on-one, to get them to see you, to get them to see your work, to get to see how well I can work with you. I do classes all around town. I've got my own thing. So I do classes all around town, and that's the best way for me to get to know somebody's work and to see how workable they are and how directable they are, and to teach them things, to teach them how to walk into an audition properly and to do that kind of thing. So that's what, those are really, these days, my favorite ways of doing it, because we get submissions from so many people and so many places that it's really the best way. And just like anything, it's always better to meet in person instead of, through the mail.
Right. And when Megan says send a postcard, I don't know exactly if she's referring to a regular postcard, but I always say get a postcard that has your headshot on it.
Exactly. That is what I meant. You should have business cards that have your headshot on it. You should have postcards that have your headshot on it. You should have headshots. You should have resumes. I'm always shocked at the number of people that don't have pictures or resumes anymore. They'll say, oh, well, I have it online. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not online right now. I'm in person, and I want to see that.
That's that's a very good point. A lot of actors now are getting lazy and they're just saying, well, you can check me out on Actors Access. Tell us about that. Tell us how a cast director feels about that. Some may feel about that.
I personally just, it drives me crazy. I mean, there are times that I want my stuff online, but if I'm talking to you in person and I say, oh, do you have a headshot so I can remember you or put you up on my wall? They don't have it? That's crazy. You never see a lawyer or a realtor without their business card, but actors will come to a casting studio without their headshots. Almost, I mean, not just once a day, you know, hundreds of times daily we run into this. And I'm thinking, you guys are forgetting that that's a huge part of your business.
That's right.
I send mine on to the clients. So yes. I don't get to hold on to them. You know, my clients get them. And guess what? My clients that are in the Midwest, they still like headshots. They still want to be able to look at a headshot and turn it over and read the back of it. They like the, you know, the textile part of it.
Exactly. So you can't judge, you can't say, oh, this is the new information technology, because you don't know what kind of a casting person you're dealing with. So you should be prepared all around, for sure, right?
Yes. Now, I think so. I mean, there are plenty of people, and there are plenty of days that I say, oh, you know what? No, I don't need it. I've got it online. But there are, but the times that I don't, I feel like just, you know, screaming, why don't you have that? It's your advertising. You need to always have your business cards with you, and that's your business card.
Absolutely. And you can get these postcards at, I don't know if Kinko's is in existence. That's where I got mine, but I don't think they're Kinko's anymore, but like CopyMat or anywhere. And you know what's really good? And I don't know if agree with me, but I always think to put something on it. You don't want to be too cute, but for example, I'm a plus size hot chick. I like to think of myself that way. So what I did was, and I got so much feedback on this from casting people, I put, of course, it's a poster, and I have my headshot on both sides, two different types, and then I put large actress seeking small parts. So if you can think of something like a tagline, I got so many casting people say, I love that. And they remembered me just from that little tagline. I put large actress seeking small parts. Get it large, small. And they love that.
Yes, that is wonderful. And you know what? I mean, the companies paid copywriters hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars every year to write their stuff. That's the same thing. It's a catchy phrase that stuck, and that's all you're looking for.
Yes, and if you don't,
you know, and it's that repeat advertising.
Yeah, and that's perfect if you don't really have anything. Say, for example, you're a new actor and you don't really have anything to really announce. That would be something that would catch their attention rather than, oh, you know, I just got cast for this. That would work for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. It's more about the repetition than what you're saying on there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, everybody worries. I had like three actors say to me, oh, like I would refer them to casting people who are my friends. And I'm like, you know what? Just send them a headshot and a resume and just say, hey, Priscilla referred you. And you know what they say to me? Oh, well, I called them once and I sent a headshot, but I never heard back. And I said, well, then you do it again. And they said, well, I don't want to be a pest. Can you tell me?
Yeah. Oh. But you're not a pest. I mean, how else am I going to know you're out there if you don't let me know you're out there? And again, I get people will call me sometimes, and I mean, God love them. And you know that I'm always trying to help people get started and get motivated and do their thing. And people will call me and say, I sent you a headshot about 3.5 months ago. You know, I had on a brown shirt. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
I know, they do.
Say that, but that's how I feel, you know? I'm just like, oh my God.
Exactly.
You know, and then people describe
you.
Do what?
They'll describe, say, remember me with my boobs hanging out. No, they wouldn't say that. But, yeah, they think that you're actually going to remember them amongst the thousands of entries that you have. So I personally say you can never be too assertive. You just don't want to go over the border of being aggressive. But – And right. It always helps if someone and if someone is referring you to a casting person and they say you can use their name because they have a good relationship, that's golden. That's a golden ticket. But then they say to me, oh, I didn't want to bother her. Can you?
Yeah.
I want to smack him in the head with a brick. Okay, and I'm like, you know what? All right, so let's talk about acting classes, because I know that you are currently having acting classes ongoing. Let's talk about the importance of ongoing classes, how you decide which class to take first, second, third. You know, should you start with classical acting classes? Should you take comedy improv classes? If you could just briefly go into that, you know, what's the difference between Method, English Mass, Miser, when it comes to audition, you know, will taking all of these songs help her? I mean, I don't know if you can remember all those questions, but maybe we can cover at least two or three of them.
Okay, we can try. Let's try. I think that, that if you have no acting training at all, none, period, whatsoever, I think then you should try something, short classes of a bunch of different things to see kind of where your interests lie a little bit more. You know, you may not know you love Shakespeare until you get into a class and go, oh, this is what it means. You know what I mean? Oh, this is how to do it. You may not know that you're funny until you get into a comedy improv class. You may not know that you could be the reigning commercial queen with just a little bit of training. You may not know that you love theater, you love classical theater, you know. First of all, I'm a theater snob, so I really believe that's the basis for everybody's training, should start there. But if you're already an adult, I mean, so that's what I would say to younger people that are trying to get started. Be sure, get involved in your high school theater, community theaters, anything you can do. I mean, I have to say that, oh, God, my husband would shoot me if he heard me say this, but any time on stage is good time on stage. Do you know what I mean? I really think you just constantly are learning things that way that then translate to all the different areas. Now, once you've been doing that for a while, you can branch out and say, you know what, I really never want to be on stage again, but I really love doing soap operas. I really love doing you know, commercials. I really love doing webisodes. Then you can kind of get more serious on that kind of thing. But I think that just good basic acting classes are great for you to be in. And I'm going to get on my little soapbox about this for a second. I also do not think you need to be in an acting class where you are being yelled at, berated, having to wait years before you can perform, having to, you know, kowtow to everybody else, these kind of semi-celebrities that if you mentioned it to you, that person to your mother, they would never know who they were. I really think that acting classes should be nurturing yet tough. You know, like tough love, a bit of tough love. You know, I really think, I mean, I just, and this is what makes me say that, is I just had dinner with an actor who's getting started in this, and he's an older man. He's just getting into the business, and he was like, oh, I'm so impressed with this teacher who will remain nameless, because he had these actors just crying because he was he'd so intimidated them. And I was like,
oh, God.
Really? And you think that's a good thing? I hear that all the time, and everyone's like, why on earth would you want to subject yourself to that when you're learning how to be raw, emotional, vulnerable? You know, how can you be vulnerable when there's somebody who's going to berate you and tell you how terrible you are and you made a terrible career choice?
Absolutely.
I hear all the time.
Yeah, so it's personal preference. He may be a little sadist, God bless him, but, you know, hey.
Well, that could be, yeah. And you know what, that's what rings your bells, but a lot of people think that that's the only way to get it, because there's so many actors, acting teachers out here that do that. And I just, you know, want to tell people that, you know what, if that's not the way they learn best, there are other teachers out there that are not like that.
Yeah, you don't have to go and subject yourself to that. Real quick, cold reading classes. Let's talk about how important they are when it comes to commercial. You know, how do you pick a good cold reading class, since most auditions are filmed now and sent to the producers, directors, and, you know, how has this affected the role of the casting director agent? So cold reading classes.
Well, cold reading classes are, they're wonderful in the fact that you have to learn how to think on your feet for an actor, whether you're doing, you know, theatrical film, commercial, soap, whatever it is. You have got to learn how to think on your feet and to be able to come up with choices and ideas quickly. You have to learn how to memorize quickly. You have to learn how to be a good storyteller in a very short period of time. You have to learn the technique, how to hold a script, how to hit your mark, how to know which camera's rolling, all of that kind of stuff. You have to be prepared, and it's so intimidating if you walk in and you haven't taken classes, if you don't know. You know, I mean, you can take 3 or 4 classes and think, oh, I'm really prepared, and realize once you go on the audition, oh, my God, I was not nearly as prepared as I thought I was or that I needed to be. I mean, I am all about preparation and learning how to get your mind focused and get your mind working again and get get your juju on how to be able to get it, to, you know, be ready to go when I say go. Because you never are going to act in your own time. You're always going to act when I call you in for the audition. You're going to act when the producers are finished having a new rewrite session, and they now say, okay, we're ready to film, and you've been on set for 12 hours. You know, you don't get to act in the prime time of the day for you, generally. It's usually at somebody else's beck and call.
Absolutely.
So that's why cold readings are so important, to learn how to do that. And that's why, you know, that's the other thing we do in our commercial classes, and we do that and talk about that in commercial classes, is you have to do it now. Do it now. Do it now.
Right. And
you know
so
what I mean?
We got 1 minute, and I want to talk about your classes, because your classes prove success. Tell us in 1 minute about the stuff that goes on in your classes, what you can offer people.
We do 2 different things. We do a 1-day commercial intensive, which is 9 to 6, and it goes, and it's 1 day a month, and it just covers everything that's in a commercial audition, and you are exhausted by the end of the day. Then we have another class that we've been doing about 1.5 years. It's an ongoing acting class, cold reading, audition techniques, line learning. It's pretty much everything else you need to learn how to do. It's method-based for the acting part of it, and then it's all we do on camera twice a week, and we do on stage, twice a month, and we do on stage twice a month, and it is a great deal. It's that one's $200 for the month, and then if you want to do the extra mentoring that goes with it, it's $225, and then our 1-day class is $225 as well. And they have been very, very successful.
You cannot beat that. And cold reading classes is what I recommend for everyone, because it will teach you to be on the ball. And when you get in front of that casting person, you better just whip it and whip it good. So if you want to learn.
Woo! That time over already.
Yes, I told you. Everybody says that. It's so crazy, right? All right. So Megan Foley at MeganFoleyCasting.com. Our classes are available. As you can tell, she's got it going on. And you, too, can be up in front of casting directors and feel confident when you take her class in a supportive, nurturing environment. Right, Megan?
That is right. We want you to be great. So
everybody, thank you so much. Megan, you're coming back on next year, right?
Yes. Call me and I'll be ready next year.
Woo! Thank you, Megan Foley. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you.
All right, darling. Love you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.